Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three, Foul Territory here. That's our guest, Todd Frazier from Foul Territory. This is actually Bet Sweats running around the house trying to chase down the guy, Joe, who just dropped off a package. I did catch him, in case you were wondering. I caught the guy. He tried to pull away with the package that I had to sign for. I made it. Todd Frazier, are you proud of me or what?
Listen, I've been there too many times, brother. I give you credit. Let's go. Good hustle. Good hustle.
Let's go. This is Bet Sweats, though, Joe, not Foul Territory. Foul Territory is out later today.
Yes, no doubt about it. Todd Frazier joining us. And Todd, we've got a lot to talk about. I hope we get more baseball to talk about. But the feeling is right now, after two games in each CS, like, oh, boy, these might be a couple of short series. What do you think, man? Are we going to see some fight out of these teams that are down 0-2? Or does it look like, yeah, it's probably going to be Seattle and the LA Dodgers in the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, as of now, I mean, what everybody's thinking is the same thing. For me, I think it's, you know, it's either going to be 3-1 or a clean sweep it's hard to say. I understand, you know, Toronto was hot. They came in hot. They beat the Yankees. They looked really good doing it. But, you know, no Bo Bichette is killer, man. They're not hitting. They're not finding ways to get guys in. The pitching hasn't been good. You got to go from one series to the next, you know, guns blazing. It just doesn't seem like that's happening right there with them. And I feel like the Brewers are in the game, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, a home run by Teoscar Hernandez, a double. You know, all of a sudden, Shohei gets his first RBI and hit in a long, long time. And they weren't doing well. Freddie Freeman wasn't doing well either. And all of a sudden, watch out. Yeah, it looks like it might be. We're hoping, meaning we, everybody in the that loves baseball, we're hoping for a couple more games here and there. But it's going to be very hard.
I do find it funny that the biggest flaw that everybody kept, you know, harping on with the Dodgers was the bullpen. And it still might be true. Dave Roberts just says, all right, Snell, you go 8. Yamamoto, you go the distance. It's very 0-5 White Sox, Todd, where the starters just do what they have to do. If they get that starting pitching, forget about it, man.
And that's what it should be. I'm a big believer in the starters need to get a little more leeway here. I'm a big believer that, you know, you should have a good bullpen, but you shouldn't have to lean on them all the darn time. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, when you got somebody going, I want to see Blake Snell go out in the ninth inning. You know, give him one more chance. But it was so fantastic. It was fantastic outing. You love to see good pitching performances. I think nowadays you love it even more, considering we didn't have one no-hitter this year and considering that starters barely get past the fifth inning nowadays. But to see that, it's exciting. It's fantastic for baseball, and it's really good for Dodger fans.
So it's something in the gambling world that we try to come up with a number on and try to figure out what the edge is. But one of the leads in what we've seen so far through four games in the CS is they're doing it on the road. And now they get to go back to the cozy confines. You've got the 2-3-2 format as well. as someone that participated in five different playoffs, what sort of value do you put on home field? Because you look at it right now and you're like, it looks like a crazy atmosphere. Yeah, obviously a home team gets the advantage without the travel and all that. But maybe there's also a little more pressure where the road team might have a slight advantage. So how do you look at it with home field?
I think for me, honestly, I love playing on the road, especially in the playoff. You know what I'm saying? The pressures are kind of off a little bit. You know, you're playing in front of your home crowd. They're pushing and like, come on, they're trying to will you to win the games. Now when you're on the road, it's like, who cares? Let's go out and just play our game. So for me, getting yelled at and booed all the time, that wasn't pressure at all. The pressure is playing at home sometimes when you got your fans screaming and yelling down your throat. You know, you don't want to strike out then. You strike out on the road, you're not going to hear anybody booing. You know, so I don't know. I don't know what it's about. I think they're more relaxed. They're more resilient. But coming back home, nothing wrong with it. I think it's exciting knowing you're up 2-0. Find a way to win one or two of those games, and next thing you know, you're sitting really pretty.
If one of the teams comes back down 2-0, which one is it?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question, too. I would say the Brewers, just because of their staff and, you know, their team, they've been together. Pat Murphy is an absolute stud of a manager. I see Freddie Peralta. He didn't throw bad yesterday. He threw pretty good, you know. Gave up 3 runs. But I do think that they have the better shot, and people are going to be like, well, what are you talking about? The Dodgers are hot. Seattle's absolutely filthy. Their pitching staff can win 10 games in a row if they really needed to. Their staff is so good. And guess what? They're hitting now. Holy cow, the Mariners are hitting. Watch out. So for me, it would have to be the Brewers just because of how good the Mariners pitching staff is.
Yeah, that lineup looks so deep for Seattle now. Not something we were saying early on in the season as they added guys. Yep. Like, wow, you go 6 deep. You're like, man, you're still strong with Suarez there. So, yeah, no doubt about it. Looks like that's going to be the matchup. The baseball fans I talk to that don't have a dog in the fight, right, they're just like, anybody but the Dodgers. Anybody but the Dodgers. And it just it feels like it's just – they know who the best team is. They know who's probably going to win the World Series. The odds are already saying it's Dodgers. You know, like, you got to lay money to take the Dodgers at this point, and they still need 6 more wins to go here. The Dodgers winning, if they go back-to-back, it's not something we see a lot in this sport. They go back-to-back. Is that something that's good or bad for baseball?
Oh, man, that's a good question, too. For me personally, I think it's great for baseball. I mean, listen, I love dynasties. I love that this team was willing to go out and spend as much money as they could to get the best players. I think you have to respect that. I think you have to sit back and see where the Dodgers were. Like, nobody won 100 games this year. It was pretty even, you know. They have a ton of injuries still. The guys that aren't playing, and they're still doing it. It goes to show you how good Dave Roberts is. It goes to show you how the brass is and how they want their team to win at all costs. Any team could have went out there and spent the money. You know, you got Steve Cohen of the world who's doing the same thing. Unfortunately, the Mets didn't come up big in the final stages. I think it's great for baseball. I think, and now all of a sudden, if you're a fan of another team, that's the team we're going to go get. Let's go. And that's the pressures and the love you want for baseball. Next year's time, if they end up doing the World Series, who's going to knock off the king? It's my team, you know? So that's the way I feel about it.
I have a feeling a lot of people, though, would be dissuaded by the Dodgers. Say they win this World Series, and then in the offseason, they go and throw $400 million at Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
I feel like that would swing the pendulum a little bit, Todd.
Of course. I mean, who wouldn't be upset when a team is getting all the great free agents out there? Who wouldn't be? But whose fault is that to blame? You know, at the end of the day, you got guys, they have money. These billionaire presidents who own teams, they can spend. I know they say, oh, we're a low-level market. They wouldn't be in the business if they weren't making money on these things. So go out and spend a little bit. Get the guys that you feel that are going to help your squad succeed and get after it. Some fan bases really need that.
Yeah, I totally hear where you're coming from. Todd Frazier with us from Foul Territory. Check out Foul Territory weekdays, 1 o'clock Eastern, especially right now during the MLB playoffs in the CS, and get their thoughts on a day-to-day basis, reacting and also previewing the next day's games. This is BetSweats, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic. You know, I'm torn on the issue of salary cap. I know when you're a player, obviously you're against it. You don't want it. You still have that player in you. Curious where you are, because I think that was it's a very good point that you brought up. Look, let's not let these owners off the hook. They have the money. They're making the choice not to spend the money. They don't want to reinvest into the roster. And because they know in some situations, all right, the place is going to be packed. We're still going to turn a profit at the end of the year. So why would we want to put that in jeopardy? It's tough because like part of me wants a salary cap because I wouldn't mind seeing some of the teams at the bottom kind of move up like we see in other sports. But also I don't want to let these owners off the hook. Like they're allowed to be cheap. Like it's tough.
Yeah. And that's well said. I mean, the only good thing about that, which is, you know, I'm not for it, but it would even out the playing field, like basically what you said for a salary cap. No way, no chance. Tony Clark understands that, and I think the Players Association should understand it. And me, I haven't talked to anybody about it, so I'm basically just speculating, but knowing from the past, that is the non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. That is something that should never be brought up. You're right. The owners have money. Spend the money and make your fans happy and make your city happy. This is something they need to do. No way should they have a salary cap. Move on. Next story. What else do you need? You know, when it comes to when they have their meetings, for sure.
Yeah, fans don't want to hear that, man. I covered both teams in town. I covered you when you were a White Sox. And I remember when I got to Wrigley for the first time as a reporter, the place was like a ghost town. And now you go and there's hotels and sports books and mezzanines and dog parks and it's $9 for a water. And then Ricketts is like, yeah, well, we're kind of breaking even. And I don't want to hear that. I never want to hear that as a fan.
Show the books. You know what I mean? Show us the books. Let's see them, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, Joe. You know, a lot of Cub fans feel that way though, Joe, you know it.
Oh, well, spend. It's not salary cap. I think Cubs fans are like, spend like you did when you got here. Why did you stop spending? Why is it not even a conversation? Like Tucker, I get it. He had a struggling year, so they're probably going to let him sign somewhere else. But for everything that they bring in, where they are market-wise, everything, the TV deal they have, come on. Why are you not spending? Yeah. So, yeah, especially a team like that, that's where I'm at. What about the game tonight, Todd? Anything specific on this matchup? Is it going to go 3-0, or are we going to see something out of Toronto? The Mariners are a -135 favorite with Kirby.
Oh, God. I mean, how don't you not love that line? 135, I mean, that's absolutely incredible for a guy who's been absolutely dominant. Yeah, he's going to be in the zone. He might give up, you know, a home run or two in this game. But how do you not love what Seattle's doing? I mean, listen, Vlad Guerrero Jr. had a really good start against the Yankees in the playoffs. I think he's fizzled these last couple games. Again, it's that what have you done for me lately attitude you got to have in the playoffs. Who else is going to step up when, you know, when all of a sudden he gets hot again? You know, a lot of guys, they've been getting their hits here and there, but they need some more production from the bottom of the lineup. They need some more production of when guys get on to get them in. And I'm just not seeing that. And they got to play in Seattle, which we saw is a raucous atmosphere, and they are salivating for a World Series. So I don't see Toronto winning tonight.
I'm going to call a shot here, and if you want to one-up me, that's fine. But I'm going to bet Josh Naylor to go deep at 6-1, 6.25. I don't know what it is. I just got this gut feeling, and I know that's maybe not how we should bet every day. But I see him just tanking one tonight. That's my shot, Josh Naylor.
I love it. I love it. I don't see any problem with that. When you have a gut feeling, it's like in baseball, when a coach used to yell at me, why were you in that position? I said, dude, I went with my gut. I mean, how do you get mad at somebody? So I've learned that when I was a lot younger. Say you went with your gut, and most of the time coaches will move on.
Yep. No doubt about it. All right, so let's say we get the World Series we think we're going to get.
Okay.
You think Seattle has a decent chance here?
Of course. 100% I do. Again, like, their pitching staff is really good. You know, is Wu going to come back? You know, with who they got, Logan Gilbert, and the way they've been hitting, I just think if both of those are in, I think it's an even playing field. And I think, you know, the Stars are going to step up and people are going to have some fun. I think it's going to be a really tight race, and I could see it going to a game 6 or 7 for sure.
Yeah, hopefully it's just not a big gap between the CS and the World Series. Hopefully we get more baseball. But, yeah, certainly agree with you. No matter what, it should be a fun World Series. Check out Todd Frazier, Foul Territory, weekdays, 1 o'clock Eastern. They got YouTube, podcasts, some TV networks as well. They're everywhere. So check out Foul Territory on a weekday basis. Thank you, Todd. Enjoy the rest of the season here.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff there from Todd Frazier. Yeah, it's certainly it's fun to get the players' perspective on some of that stuff involving, you know, where certain teams are. And he's right. You don't want to let these owners off the hook. They're in it. Like, you're a White Sox fan. You don't need me to tell you about letting Jerry Reinsdorf off the hook and choosing not to spend and kind of choosing to lose.
Yeah, the worst thing that ever happened for White Sox fans, they gave John Danks, I think, 5 years and $60 million. It was the biggest contract he'd ever given out. And then year number one, Danks blew his shoulder out.
Bad.
And Jerry's like, see, that's why you don't
told pay. You. Told you. That was his thing. Don't pay pitchers. And then he finally caved. And then, see, it was proven right on that front. All right, college football, one of our favorites, Caroline Fenton on the other side. You've got the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn, Lane. Damn. Firing shots. Kirby Smart. Joe O. Sammy P. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network, getting you set for the upcoming college football week. We now bring on Caroline Fenton. Check her out on Yahoo Sports Daily, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern weekdays. Check out the show. We'll get into that matchup, of course, the Ole Miss game this week, Caroline. But the big news of the week is what went down on Saturday and into Sunday with the James Franklin firing. So yesterday we started taking a look at the odds. And of course, the usual suspects, the dream. Oh, what about Cignetti? What are his odds? And those with connections to Penn State make sense. And then we saw a big move on one name that I haven't seen out there a lot nationally. And now the favorite to be the next Penn State head coach is Joe Brady. What do you think about Joe Brady as the coach, or maybe you have someone that you selected that you would hire if you were at Penn State?
I'd love to see Penn State shift gears and start to, you know, air the ball out a little bit. I think that Andy Kotelecki, their offensive coordinator, has been known to be a really creative offensive coordinator, but we didn't see that under James Franklin. So I like the idea of going offensive minded, but I have to think about what Penn State needs right now. Penn State doesn't need anybody to come in and fix the culture. Penn State doesn't need anyone.
Caroline, yeah. Take 1 second. Let's see if we can reconnect because the audio is kind of going in and out there.
Okay.
Little technical difficulties there. But we'll get that figured out and reconnect with Caroline Fenton coming up in just a moment. And yeah, Sam, we mentioned it yesterday on the show. Joe Brady is still the favorite, but Rule right there, right behind him, which I find very interesting because his response the other day, I don't talk about other jobs. I'm happy here, but I don't talk about other jobs.
Well, guess where the owner of the Bills went to college? Penn State. Mm. That's Terry Pegula. Yes. So there's a natural synergy there. And if he feels good about Brady, which I'm sure he does, I mean, he's obviously got a lot of pull to get him to be the offensive coordinator. If he's happy with that relationship, it's an easy slide. You just take him from Buffalo and move them over to Penn State. Like, that's how it works these days.
Yeah, no doubt. Caroline Fenton back with us. Do you have us, Caroline?
Yeah, I have you guys. Sorry about,
okay.
Can't live with it, can't live without it. But yeah, to your point, not a very far trip to State College. I just think that Penn State right now needs somebody that can come in and win immediately. You don't need someone to rebuild the culture. You don't need anyone to rebuild the foundation. You need someone to take over the culture and the foundation that James Franklin built to continue recruiting at a high level and come in and win football games. Joe Brady hasn't done that at this level. Joe Brady hasn't been a head coach. He's a brilliant offensive mind, but I think Penn State needs someone that's more proven to come in and take the reins and kind of get over that hump that James Franklin wasn't able to get over.
You have the LSU helmet over your right shoulder, as always.
I do.
LSU is an underdog at Vanderbilt. Make that make sense.
Yeah. Life comes at you fast in the NIL era, doesn't it? This is the first time ever in Vanderbilt's history that they're a favorite over a ranked opponent. But this is not the same Vanderbilt team. Frankly, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that Vanderbilt is a favorite. They're at home. LSU's offense has struggled mightily. Garrett Nussmeier does not look right. Even after the bye week against South Carolina, he was limping around a lot. He was able to air the ball out a little bit more maybe than we've seen in the first few weeks of the season. But still, Garrett Nussmeier doesn't look like the same Garrett Nussmeier that we saw in the 2024 season. Overall, though, I understand I have an LSU helmet behind me. Look, I graduated from LSU. LSU is my favorite team in the world, and I am willing to take my purple and gold tinted glasses off whenever. I feel like I'm harder on LSU than more LSU fans. This is just going to be a really tough out for Diego Pavia in this Vanderbilt offense against this LSU defense. It doesn't feel like LSU is 5-1 right now, and I think it's because of how much their offense has struggled. But LSU has been playing a championship-level, elite style of defense. LSU's defense is nasty, and Blake Baker is going to blitz the hell out of Diego Pavia. Now, Diego Pavia has proven that he's going to make plays. He can make plays even against an aggressive defense, and there are going to be plays to be had. If LSU blitzes and sells the farm to get after Diego Pavia and he's able to evade that blitz, well, he's going to have green grass to be able to make those plays happen. We saw that a little bit last week against Lenora Sellers, but overall that LSU defense was able to stifle Lenora Sellers' legs really for a majority of that game. I think LSU's defense is going to be the difference in turnovers. That was the difference in Vanderbilt and Alabama. Maybe Vanderbilt wins that game if they just take care of the football, if they don't turn the ball over several times in the red zone against Alabama. LSU's been really good at forcing turnovers. The issue is the offense hasn't been able to capitalize on them. That's the key for LSU, force turnovers and really limit what Diego Pavia is able to do with his legs and hope that Garrett Nussmeier is able to just piece a few big throws together against this Vanderbilt secondary that's been struggling. And that's the path to victory for LSU. But don't get it twisted. I will not be surprised if Vanderbilt is able to, I'm not even going to say shock the world because I don't think it would be shocking. They're a favorite. But if Vanderbilt is able to get back to their winning ways with a win over LSU, that will not surprise me in the slightest.
The SEC has 6 of the top 11 in the country. And the reality is, as we're trying to figure things out going through conference play, is that a couple of those teams that are in the top 11 in the SEC are not going to make the playoff. That's just how it's going to be. And maybe there's a team that's further down, like that's going to jump back in. Maybe Texas. I don't know. Only one conference loss so far. Is there a fraud, whether it be this week or big picture wise? Is there a team that is ranked highly in the SEC that you are not buying?
Honestly, one of them is LSU. You know, defense wins championships, but if your offense can't score, you're not going to be able to survive the grind of an SEC schedule. And that's exactly what LSU has facing them over the next couple of weeks. They have Vanderbilt this week, then Texas A&M, then a bye, then they go to Alabama and they round out the season with Oklahoma. That's a lot. You know, looking at that stretch, if LSU can go 2-2, I think you would call that a success. But then you're looking at a ceiling of 9-3. That's not good enough to get into the college football playoff. And when you're a top 10, top 15 team in the country, and when you are in year four of the Brian Kelly experience, the expectation is college football playoff. The other one I would add, though, is probably Ole Miss. I think that Ole Miss, you know, massive win over LSU. Yes, you give them a whole lot of credit for that. They've earned that. They're 6-0. But then they struggled last week at home against Washington State. And now they go on the road to Georgia, a team that does not lose at home to anyone not named Alabama. I think that Georgia's going to be able to run all over this porous Ole Miss run defense. So I think right now they're a little overvalued for what they're going to end up being at the end of the season. But one team that I don't think is a fraud that's at the top is Texas A&M. I do this every year. Look, I buy into Texas A&M. I love what I've seen from Texas A&M, and they do the same things every year and disappoint us and end up going 9-3 or 8-4. With this defense and with the weapons that Marcel Reed has around him, whether it's Mario Craver or Casey Concepcion, I think they're one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver duo in the SEC. And then what Le'Veon Moss can do on the ground as well, plus that defense led by Mike Elko, I think Texas A&M, I say it every year, but maybe this year is different. Texas A&M is not a fraud. I do think Texas A&M is legit.
You got some really big games in the SEC. Really nice slate for the conference on Saturday. If there's a favorite that falls flat, that loses outright, who is it?
Maybe this is just like a total cop-out answer because they're only 1.5-point dogs at home. But I think it's Auburn. Auburn hosting Missouri this weekend. Look, Jordan Hare, not an easy place to play, especially Jordan Hare at night. I mean, Nick Saban called it haunted, and I think he's totally right. We give Tiger Stadium a whole lot of credit for how tough of a place it is to play. Neyland Stadium, absolutely, those places get credit. But so Jordan Hare doesn't get enough credit for how weird and spooky of a place it is. And Auburn, aside from a really questionable no touchdown call against Georgia last week, they beat Georgia. I mean, once that was called a no touchdown, things just kind of went off the rails and they weren't able to hold on in that game. But I think Auburn is pissed off about how things went last weekend. Now they're back at home in a night game hosting a Missouri team that felt like they gave Alabama everything they could give. They got pretty banged up last week at home against Bama in a loss. So I think Missouri's kind of dragging their heels a little bit coming off of a very emotional loss versus Auburn, fired up, pissed off at home. Home dogs run faster. Even though they're slight dogs, I'm going to take Auburn to take down the Tigers this weekend in a Tiger Bowl. Tiger on Tiger.
What are we going to see out of Oregon this week on the road after what happened last week?
Oh, it's a good question. And this is the test of good teams, of championship caliber teams, that you can get smacked in the mouth and then you can come back from it. Or you can, you know, continue to ride the high of a win and not get distracted by it. I think on the road, you know, against Rutgers this weekend, this is an opportunity for Oregon to get right. Let's not get it twisted. Indiana's a good team. Like, Indiana, I think, should be in the conversation to be the number one team in the country. That wasn't a fluky win over Oregon. Indiana just beat Oregon. So I don't think that we can say that Oregon, you know, everything's going to go off the rails, that their season is totally lost because they lost to this Indiana team. No, I think there's going to be a lot of teams on Indiana's schedule that lose to this Indiana team. So this feels like a get-right opportunity for Oregon and to prove to everybody, yes, we are still very much so a Big Ten contender, a college football playoff contender, and a national contender. I think that's exactly what Oregon is as long as Dante Moore is taking care of the football.
Do you believe more in Indiana or Miami? They have about the same price to win the whole thing. They're right around 9-1. Which team do you buy more?
Oh, it's such a good question because I believe so much in both of them. If I have to pick, though, I lean Indiana. And it has everything to do with the quarterback. Look, if the season ended today, I think that Carson Beck and Fernando Mendoza easily could be two finalists for the Heisman Trophy. One thing, though, that Fernando Mendoza doesn't do, that Carson Beck has a tendency to do, is throw interceptions and to throw dumb interceptions at inopportune times. I mean, Fernando Mendoza is taking care of the football, which is shocking for how much he wants to throw the ball around the yard. And he has supplementary playmakers to help him out as well. Whereas Miami, whether it's going back to last year at Georgia or what we've seen from Carson Beck this year, he does have a tendency to try and play Superman just far too much. And so I fear for Carson Beck in big game situations. Look, we've seen Miami in big games. We've seen them take down Florida. We've seen them take down Notre Dame in a neutral site. We've seen them go into Florida State and take down a solid Seminoles team. But no win that Miami has on their schedule looks as good as what Indiana did on the road against a top five Oregon team. So I say, I trust. How crazy is it? Like, if you would have told me this 2 months ago that I'd be saying I trust Indiana more than Miami, I would think I was crazy, but I think it is. And it is because of Fernando Mendoza being able to take care of the football as much as he has.
A couple more minutes here with Caroline Fenton of Yahoo Sports. What about this quarterback matchup? Maeva and Carr on Saturday night. Which side has the edge?
Ooh, well, I would have to say CJ Carr has the edge just being at home. And if you watched Notre Dame in the first couple of weeks of the season, you probably wrote them off, right? Like, this Notre Dame team, they're not going back to the national championship. They've struggled. They dropped their first two games. I get it. If you haven't watched Notre Dame since then, that's probably your mindset. Notre Dame looks like a different football team now. Like, CJ Carr has so much more poise. It feels like he's playing with so much more confidence that he has so much more of a better understanding of his role in this offense. And he also has the running backs around him too, whether it's Jeremiah Love or, you know, that offensive line that just looks better and better and better. Defensively, Notre Dame looks more sound. And look, USC, their offense is humming. And it finally looks like Lincoln Riley has at least some semblance of a defense to back up that offense. But overall, I do have to say the way that CJ Carr has been playing as of late is incredibly impressive. But the path for USC is literally what they did last week. They out Michigan. Michigan. They smacked Michigan in the mouth. They ran the ball incredibly effectively. That is kind of the formula for beating Michigan. I also think that's the formula for Notre Dame. Out Notre Daming Notre Dame, running the football, tough, being tough at the lines of scrimmage. But USC has been dealing with some injuries at the running back position, and I think that's going to hurt them, especially being on the road at South Bend this weekend.
Check out Caroline Fenton on Yahoo Sports Daily, weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you, Caroline. Enjoy all the games this weekend. Lightning bets
Thanks,
on the
guys.
Other
Appreciate
side.
It.
This is the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Thanks for hanging out with us. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. We will get to our lightning bets. We'll get to the room. We got a lot happening on this. What is it, a Wednesday? Yeah, it's a Wednesday. Wednesday here on Bet Sweats. Sammy P, I heard that you were requesting your guy. He is your guy, Ben Johnson. I'm sure you have a Coach of the Year bet. Since you're cornering the market, you're in the process right now. Are you going to add Ben Johnson to your list after three straight wins?
I don't have a single bet on Coach of the Year. But it is interesting. In the summer, the two favorites were Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel, two of the trendy overs, two of the trendy teams to make the playoffs. And here we sit. They're doing their jobs. Look, I'm happy for the Bears. If the Bears are finally good again, that's great for the city.
You're not happy.
Happy for the team. Just the fans are enough. Like, the fans don't know how to handle winning in Chicago. That's what I'm getting at. You know that. You know that.
Yep. Oh, I know that. I did my time talking to them on the phone. The crazy ones that wanted to go on radio shows. So there's another level there, right? There's your normal psychotic Bears fan. And then the ones that want to go on the air, they're just a completely different species. There's no doubt about that.
Remember, all right, I told you last year about the Bears group thread that photoshopped. They found a photoshopped image of Thomas Brown holding up the Lombardi Trophy last year. Remember, we talked about this on the show. I know.
I forgot he was the head coach. Honestly.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, so I had our crack staff, and by crack staff I mean Jake Hassan, find post-game locker room celebration, I guess, with Ben Johnson, the coach of the Bears. Let's rip it. Hear what they had to say.
That's three in a row. And the only thing I need is
Logan Wilson!
Good, better, best!
Good, better, best!
Never let it rest!
Never let it rest!
Good gets better!
Good gets better!
You better get better!
You better get better!
Bears on three! 1, 2, 3!
Bears!
I can't do that. I can't.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's it. That's just, it's too much. It's too much.
I can't do, I'm not that guy. But we're not that guy. I made a mistake the other day. Maybe doing something similar. All right. So we had a playoff game on Saturday, and twice there were kids that slowed down as they were approaching first base. One got burned on it. Would have had a hit if he ran hard all the way through. Practice on Monday, I was pissed. And I made a point, even though we won, I made a point to make sure that they're running hard, and we emphasized it. I timed everyone down, home to first, home to first. Okay. All right. Ran hard, good, for the most part. Timed you all. There's some bad numbers there, boys. Bad numbers. Okay. I don't have spikes on. I'm your old fat coach. Let's time me. If I beat anybody, you're doing a tripod. A tripod is home plate, left field foul pole, right field foul pole, back to home plate. We're on the big fields now, so that's not a joke. Like the left field foul pole is 320 now on the field that we're on. So that's a good hike. They don't want to do that. They timed me. I beat five of them. Five. Let's go. Go do the tripod. I was cool. One of my coaches couldn't believe I did that. He's like, please, Joe. No, don't. Something's going to go. You're going to fall. You don't have spikes on. I'm good. I'm fine. I thought I was good. Dude, this is Monday. The last like 24 hours. I'm gimping. Like an old man. Looks like I got a peg leg right now. I'm just in constant pain, the hamstring area. Constant.
And this is stupid. After an entire football season of you needing surgery on your foot.
Yeah, I still need surgery on my toe, which I have not gotten. But I think I'm going to be fine. I'm slowly falling apart.
Well, just in case, if you need a little bit more motivation or you want to feel a little bit better on the inside, let's just hear from Coach Ben Johnson one more time to rile Joe up.
Good, better, best!
Good, better, best!
Never let it rest!
Never let it rest!
Good gets better!
Good gets better!
You better get best!
You better get best!
Bears on three! 1, 2, 3!
Bears!
All right. I'm stealing it. We beat the Raiders and Commanders.
I'm using it. Awesome. I'm using it this weekend.
Yep.
What is this, high school?
They didn't do, believe it or not, they did not do good, better, best when they lost 52-21 to the Lions.
Ah, damn.
No. did not happen.
What did Eberflus do? I mean, you've Trestman and Eberflus, this is just the opposite of what they've always had. Paul Aspen has some info that people might be interested in. You got some room info for tonight?
Yeah, and I was also like, maybe we're wrong. Like, on a vet team, like a Lovey team, like the Lance Briggs, Tillman, Urlacher team, that stuff doesn't work. Maybe we should look at the average age of the Bears. Maybe the like second-year quarterback. Maybe it works for young guys that are basically 4 years removed from high school or five. Maybe we're wrong. Anyway, I thought it was cringe. But, all right, the room.
It is.
Yeah. Couple home runs, which are whatever, but five up through one. Most bet props at BetMGM tonight for Mariners Blue Jays game 3. Mariners up 2-0 going to Toronto. Number 5. Most bet prop at BetMGM. Shane Bieber over 14.5 pitcher outs -120.
Okay. Interesting.
Fade the Biebs. Vladdy home run. Big dumper home run. Vladdy home runs +425. Big dumper home run is +300. And then this is, again, very room. Number 2, most bet prop at BetMGM. George Springer under half a single at -110. But their number 1 most bet prop is Springer to hit a home run at +500.
No! Damn it.
With Springer, your guy? I think Springer is going to pimp one out of the box. It's going to go off the top of the wall, and it's going to be a 400-foot single.
Oh, that would be funny.
That would be worst-case scenario for the room, no doubt.
Jake, was Springer your guy? Or are you just laughing?
I was going to go Springer home run, but now, I mean, to Paul, now I just got to do the bases. Damn it!
Total bases. What's behind Springer? Why of everybody playing tonight, all these home run hitters, is he being singled out?
Because he's been hot. Like it makes like the 2 leadoff home runs. Like that's very room. I knew better. That's my fault.
There you go. Any might as well finish it out. What else we got, Jake?
It is room.
I mean, the room's on the outs. I actually like Bieber K's. He's seen this Mariners lineup before and has like a 38% K rate. So I'll go over the 5.5 with him. And I'm going to go the first 3 under. First time through the lineup, I think both these guys should have success. That park in Seattle is very pitcher friendly. So I'll go first 3 under 1.5. I have no idea who's going to win. I've kind of flipped. I kind of think the Blue Jays are going to win, but I'm just going to go first 3 under. I'll take the Springer over 1.5 total bases and Bieber over 5.5 Ks.
Did I hear landscaping somewhere?
I thought was at a truck stop nothing goes on for a here. Second.
But yeah, there's a truck.
A truck by Paul? Yeah. Oh, okay. He gave you some horn? A little Bet Sweats horn? They're listening on the Odyssey
app? In Paul's living room. Yeah.
Bet Sweats horn. Yeah.
Jake,
speed up.
Going out of order, but I agree. I agree with where Jake was going. I think Toronto wins. It's a slight dog tonight. We're going to have a series. We're going to have a series here. It's going to be 2-1. Where are we at in the plus money? Let's see. Frazier disagrees, which is always dicey to go against him. +110, 115 is what you could find, but that's where I'm going. Where are you going, Sam?
I don't love anything. I'm going to make a really, really small bet on Josh Naylor to hit a homer. BetMGM has +625. You can't call your shot with Frazier and then not be about that life. So, Naylor Yavo tonight.
It's my MVP. I think I said when we were setting up the room that the series shifts to Toronto. I'm a moron. Obviously in Seattle. Cavernous ballpark. I'll ride with the Jays, +110. Come on, we got to get a series, right? Even though Naylor is my guy, obviously, 3-2-1 Naylor, World Series MVP. But let's make it a series for the Ian McMillans of the world. Man, imagine that spot being down 3-0. Oof, tough.
Oof. And that'd be fun. We could have both.
I'm gonna
3-0.
Text, when Naylor hits a homer, I'm just going to text a trumpet. Horn. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. It's my celebration.
There you go.
With the trucker.
Should be able to clip that, Jake. Should have that ready at any time.
We'll make it work.
Swing big on your next bet with an MLB postseason odds boost token. Use your token to net a bigger payout on a winning bet. So off our 3-2-1 game of the divisions, I started plugging in some different divisions. You made one last week, Paul, you mentioned, and some of the ones that I think we sort of agreed on, Buffalo. I put in Pittsburgh, Indy, and Kansas City, and Detroit. I don't know which one's wrong there. That's about 30-1, though. Those all are. There. Yeah, keep on going. I didn't think I had that many.
I probably will.
Washington. Let's go Washington. Which one am I missing?
Well, you're missing two more.
When's Jake Paul's next fight?
It's only six.
I'm not going to Atlanta. All right, we'll go Seattle. Did them all. 270-1. Perfect. I have to do it. It's a lock. It's a lock.
That's called an account extender. When you do that, they just extend your shelf life when you
make
those bets.
Yes. Sometimes it needs to be done. Speaking of that, John Murray will be joining us tomorrow, and as will Andy Molitor. We'll get you ready for Thursday night football, NFL, college football. We'll continue with baseball. We got two games tomorrow. All that coming up. Bet Sweats right here on the BetMGM Network.
Thanks for listening to Listen Up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.